You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch with me here, as you always are, on Tuesdays, 12 noon, 12 Pacific Standard Time. And we're here in beautiful California, broadcasting all over the world. And I'm always trying to bring you some kind of insight, amazing authors who can help you out with your lives so you can live more joyful and abundant and exciting, especially during these tough times, lives. So if you're a regular listener here on LA Talk Radio, you're familiar with a lot of my guests and a lot of my interviews that I've done. I share about many of the best spiritual teachers because part of my psychological practice involves not only using, you know, usual psychological techniques, cognitive, behavioral, humanistic, some psychoanalytic, but also it's really important for me to help you with your own inner strength and your own higher power. And that doesn't mean that you have to be religious per se, or that it really matters whatever kind of religion that you were brought up with or that you prefer to follow. It's all about a higher power. And that's what we're talking about today, and receiving information from, who knows, spirit guides, getting information from, you know, the whatever we might call it, but it's a higher power that we are open to receiving. So let me just tell you about some of the people who I've interviewed on this show. You know, Marianne Williamson and Dr. Joe Dispenza, Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, Michael Beckwith, Greg Braden. Of course, we can't forget the beautiful Esther Hicks. And in my psychological work and interviews, all of these teachers help and encourage people to be more joyful, less stressed, and less depressed, of course. And that includes these inspirational teachers. You know, they all say that there is a higher presence, whatever we want to call it, the source, God being, who is loving all the time, non-judgmental. And we're talking about a woman today and the author of the book, her son, who is a very gifted person. The late Wilma Jean Jones. And she really opened herself up to receiving information and messages from whoever, spirit guides. She calls them angels, she calls them. And it's about sharing hope for all of us. And it's dictated messages that she received. And our special guest, Michael McAdams, the author of this book, is going to tell us a little bit more about the process of how his mom received these messages and how she has brought them to us through him as well to help us just live better lives. So we're talking about the book today. And again, it's written by Michael McAdams and his mom, special mom, Wilma Jean Jones. And this is volume one. We're looking at it right now. This will be volume one of three. There she is in all of her beauty, right? So let's bring Michael up and say hi and introduce him to the show. So nice to have you here with us today, Michael. Thank you so much for sharing this book with us.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, it's what a great read, and it's my pleasure to have you. Now, your mom wrote some amazing messages that she received from spirit guides, as she called them, or angels, higher power. And I know that you worked closely with her to, you know, enable her to receive these messages. And you were very involved in this as well. You were saying, Mom, this is amazing. Let's do this. And I'm open to this. So I know that, you know, this is why you published the book, and you have three volumes, correct?
I will have. Second volume should be out end of May, hopefully middle of June. Third volume will be out the end of this year.
Oh, that's amazing. So first of all, can you tell us a little bit about the process that went on with your mom as to how she received these messages and how you took part in helping her as well?
Wilma Jean, my mother, she had received, like most of us do in thought, most all of her life. I had been brought up Pentecostal, evangelical Christian.
Interesting. Okay.
So I have a foundation of faith. My uncle was a fiery Pentecostal preacher. Founded churches in Florida, Kentucky, and Ohio. My grandmother was called to the ministry when she was 30 years old.
Wow.
And I remember she would say that she received sermons dictated to her mind, dictated word for word, that she would write down and preach in church. She would also receive verses to songs that she would receive and put to music. And when I was young, she would say that God had spoken to her heart.
Wow.
And that's the perspective that, people with a religious background will see the information coming from.
Yes.
Wilma Jean had been spoken to, but she had started receiving these messages dictated word for word from spirit teachers from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And she was led to sit down and receive. She had set up an electric typewriter in her home, in her kitchen.
Yeah.
And when she would sit down to receive, she would light a candle, say a prayer, ask for protection, because you are opening your mind.
Sure.
And she said that she would see three or four words float into her mind and just hang there.
Ooh.
And they would not go away until she typed them.
Interesting.
Once she typed those three or four words, they would just fade away.
Right.
And three or four more would show up. That's how each and every one of these messages and teachings came to be.
That's amazing. So these words would flow through her head, like four or so words, and she would just write them down. And she was a receiver. She was receiving these messages from angels, she called them, spirit guides or whatever.
She liked the term angels. If you have that religious perspective,
right,
any information that you receive is going to come from angels, archangels, guardian angels. People who are more spiritual in nature, they read and learn about spirit guides, spirit teachers, master
teachers. Right, right.
They're the exact same thing, just viewed from a different perspective.
Right, exactly. So your inspiration was that you were so involved with your mom and really believed in it. And were you sort of blown away by these messages she was receiving, or were you sort of used to it because your grandmother used to do this as well?
Well, I had actually got into spiritual and psychic things before my mother did. I did psychometry.
Ah.
I did psychometry with a group called Psychic World in Cincinnati for about a year and a half. Could hold rings, watches, keys, anything that carried a person's vibration.
Yeah. Yes.
Had a legal tablet. Didn't pump them for information. Would just ask them their first name. They would give me something to hold, and I would get a message for them.
Yes.
When I got done receiving, I would read it to them. Sometimes they'd cry. Mm. And it was more confirmation as to what they were going through than actual prophecy.
Right, right.
My mother wasn't really sure about all this with her religious background and foundation.
Sure.
But she had an open mind. And she was willing to believe that this was possible.
Yeah.
And she had been working around the kitchen one day. She wasn't sure that she really wanted to publish these messages in a book. And on the back cover of the book, I don't know if you saw it, is a message that she received just working around the kitchen. And the words started to come into her mind. She picked up a paper and pen, had beautiful handwriting. And she received this message that she felt was confirmation. May I share this with your audience?
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
Emptiness is part of fulfillment. Let your resources fill the void left so that distinction of your purpose can be found. Expression is always self-explanatory. Therefore, look inside and anchor all your beliefs beside those still waters that will take away your troubled view and renew your strength to recapture that which was lost, but is now found to be adequate to pursue the course set before you. And as you reconcile your being to represent those qualities that have been left intact, God will see to it that although circumstances have been trying, to say the least, your weariness will disappear as clouds once removed allow the sun to shine to dispel the gloom and darkness that has pervaded your countenance. And as once described before, a token of this presence will be deposited to your account and books recorded in his name.
All right. Now, so that is her direct messages that she was receiving, some of the direct messages. So
that message was given in thought.
Mm.
That was given in thought, and she had been praying, and she said she felt that was confirmation that she really should put these messages and teachings in a book.
That's amazing. Well, she sure did, and you did that for her. Bless your heart for, you know, carrying on her legacy of all of these amazing messages to help people. So, you know, I think a lot of people are dealing with a lot of strife right now. And, you know, we're trying to cope with everything going on, COVID. And there's a lot of fear, you know, based things going on in our world. And a lot of people are looking for hope. And I think this book is wonderful because some of the messages that your mom received are really beautiful, and they help us with hope. In what ways do you think this book's important for our time right now?
I think more than hope, people would just give anything to have peace of mind.
Yeah.
And to have peace of mind in these troubled times, and to be able to find information applicable to what people are going through, is what these messages and teachings seem to speak to.
Yeah.
And I tell people, Volume 1 of the book was pretty much all messages, personal messages to Wilma Jean and myself. But it's like they're woven with a universal thread. And everyone who has read these messages have said, mm-hmm. well, this seems like what I'm dealing with. This sounds mm-hmm. like they're talking to me.
Yes.
And I tell people, when you get the book, read each message once as it was given for my mom and given for me.
Yes.
Then read that same message again as if it's being presented for you and see what hits.
Mm.
And it's amazing what hits.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So the messages, you know, hit people in different ways. What are some of the most profound messages that you can share with our listeners and viewers that your mom got from the spirit world or whatever she, you know, whoever she was receiving the higher power from?
A lot of these messages are signed with the name of the spirit teacher that presented the message.
Okay.
This isn't just really? Coming from the okay. spirit world. These are individual specific teachers. Some messages that came for her were from her spirit teachers. I feel that the messages given for me were from my spirit teachers. And we each have our own. We each have our own. On yes. the web, on my website, spiritspeaks.com, is a television interview that Wilma Jean gave in Cincinnati. And posted on that television interview is a message from Volume 2 of the book. And this was the only time in a session where Wilma was led to sit down and receive. Two different spirit teachers moved in the same session, gave two different messages, and signed two different names.
Wow.
And wow. it was obvious that the second teacher was a different teacher than the first, because yes. the whole cadence and phrasing of the message is different.
Mm-hmm.
That first teacher's message is posted on her television interview for anyone to see.
Yeah.
But it was deep, a little more than a long paragraph, really profound.
Yes, yes.
But the next to the last line is the line that'll get you. And he yeah. says, there are others here who wish to make themselves known to you, so I will step aside for this time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. My question is, who are the others and where is here? What do you mean there are others here? Where are you in relation to us on this physical plane?
That so is,
And they are just, you could do sermons from some of these messages.
Yes.
But if you asked, there are, I mean, there's just so many, and the lines are just
right,
like
right, exactly.
In this message where the two spirit teachers moved in, these messages end with either just a really deep, beautiful last tagline mm-hmm. or a profound last paragraph. And this second teacher's message, the last paragraph didn't disappoint. May I share this with your audience?
Oh, sure.
Just to give you an example.
Yeah.
This was the last paragraph of the second teacher's message. You are not as sheep herded here and there, but you are likened to the lamb that is cared for individually, nourished and loved, until the full and total development allows it to be master of itself. So is man so kept and denied only those things that would not in the long run nourish his spirit. God is all wise and loving in his dispensations. We are not to judge the workings of our Father, nor are we to judge each other. Work always to improve your own beings, for in the end time, there lies your soul. with all the nourishment you have given it, totally dependent upon the outcome of your intentions. And that message was signed, your loving spiritual teacher.
Oh, that's beautiful. So how many spiritual teachers did your mom have?
These messages and teachings are repeatedly given from a plural perspective.
Oh, okay.
We feel, we believe, we advise. Yes. Our view encompasses more than your view can comprehend.
Okay. All
so
right.
Even though many of these messages were signed with a singular name, your loving spiritual guide, your spiritual teacher, mm-hmm. it's like it's a collaboration mm-hmm. of spirit mm-hmm. teachers merging with one mind and putting this together.
Right.
Now, when she saw these words, not floating in her mind, but she actually saw them
forward in her mind,
three and four at a time. This wasn't channeling. This wasn't automatic writing.
Okay.
She was taking dictation, and they give punctuation.
Wow. That's, I love that.
And it's dictated in final form.
Right.
There's
That's
no
amazing.
First draft, second right. draft, rewrite, edit.
Right, right.
These are dictated in final form, finished. Just and it's like, I mean, some of the sentences are 110 words long.
That is amazing.
If you tried to create a sentence in your mind and give it to someone three and four words at a time, how could you even maintain your train of thought?
Exactly. No,
so
exactly.
It's an amazing, it not is. Only that, but these spirit teachers knew how much paper she had. And on a single single space type, full page message, they would repeatedly put the last word in the bottom right-hand corner of the paper so tight, all you can place is the period. How could you do that?
You know, I mean, that's, well, I guess if they're in the unseen, whoever those angel spirit guides are, who, you know, so many of the wonderful inspirational teachers and world leaders have talked about that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you know, there's so much going on that we don't know about in the unseen. And a lot of that is called faith and knowing this, you know, whatever, higher powers, angels, spirit guides, or whatever. And so many of these inspirational teachers, such as your mom, you know, again, they don't know where this is coming from. They don't, but many times they go into a meditative state or they go into a relaxed state to receive messages. Your mom had a little process, didn't she, in order to sort of go into this place where she was receiving messages, right?
Actually, she did not. When she was led in her mind to sit down and receive, she would just sit down and receive. She would relax her mind, but she didn't do any, it wasn't that she went into meditation, repeated any kind of a mantra. She would just be led to sit down and receive, and they would move in, and they knew that they had found a willing receptacle in Wilma.
Right. Church. Right.
And as these messages and teachings continue in volume 2 and volume 3, it's obvious that higher teachers are moving in, giving even deeper and more profound teachings. It's like they started spreading the word on the other side.
Right, right.
It's like, look what we found.
Yes.
Look what we've got.
Yeah. Exactly.
And higher teachers moved in. And on rare occasions, like I said, a lot of the messages are given from a we perspective. We, our, and us. But mm-hmm. on occasion, an I will make himself known.
Oh, okay.
Therefore, I will ensure that this happens, or I will make sure, you know, that this is taken care of. And when an I makes himself known, that really makes you sit up and take it. Like, wait a minute.
Yes.
Who is the I? Where did he come from?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, that really makes a lot of sense. So, you know, you yourself have, do you think this is an inherited gift sometimes, because you yourself have a lot of psychic ability? And like you talked about earlier, your grandmother, of course, received information, messages, and as did your mom. So is this something we can all acquire, or is this a familial situation? I'm not sure.
It's not something that we acquire. I believe it's something that we're born with.
Okay.
It's an innate ability.
Ah, every single one of us?
Pardon?
All of us? Every single person?
Everyone. It's mm-hmm. an innate ability as a gift to the human soul. We have that ability to communicate.
Yes.
But we get distracted. Life can be distracting.
Yeah.
And especially for young people who jump in the car and turn on the radio,
Oh, yeah.
come home, turn on the TV, jump on their computer, can't get their face out of their smartphone.
Yeah.
And we have that ability to communicate. We are all spoken to. Now, some people think it's their imagination, their conscience, but we're all given guidance, direction, and support. And if we ignore that, we do so at our own peril.
Oh, yeah.
But it is something that we're born with. I do believe that.
Right.
And you don't have to go to a lot of trouble to be able to listen. It's really just a matter of clearing your mind.
Ooh.
But I tell people when you open your mind, you want to establish a filter of protection. I mean, evil and negativity may exist. It doesn't exist for me.
Right.
Not that I'm anything special,
right,
but
right.
I just have that filter that I've established.
Mm-hmm.
And years ago, so many years ago, I really don't remember when it came to me, I was given an affirmation. And it said, "Let no thoughts, ideas, or information be made known to my mind that does not come from God or his direct representatives."
Right.
That can be the filter for anyone who wants to try and make contact with their own spirit guides, spirit teachers.
Right.
Or angels, again, depending on your perspective.
Right, your belief systems or whatever. And again, this is not a religious-based practice per se. I mean, everyone, you know, like you said, you came from a Pentecostal upbringing, and that's beautiful. But everyone or anyone who would like to get in touch with, and I don't know if we call them higher beings or whatever, but they're in the unseen, but it's spirit guides, whatever you want to call them. Everyone has access to this, as you said. What's the best way besides clearing, as I call it, sort of clearing, you know, and speaking an intention of I allow only higher energy and loving beings and that kind of thing. What is the process of allowing ourselves to receive information?
It's really just a matter of asking and making, letting them know that you're willing to listen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the Bible said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened.
Mm-hmm.
All three of those statements require a positive action on our part.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not willing to ask, do we deserve to receive? If we're not even willing to knock on the door, why would the door be opened?
Right.
So people don't need to do anything special other than have an open mind, establish a filter of protection. And then if they have a concern or an issue, they don't mind taking a quiz, test the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And these are spirit teachers. I call them spirit teachers. And these are messages and teachings, but they can really be called teaching messages.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you read these, and you see how applicable they are to what you're going through, it's like, how do they know?
Right.
How do they know?
Right, exactly. Well, yeah. Well, and I think we're all connected per se. You know, I've spoken to a lot of, they call it quantum conscious people who are, you know, it is science, but it's also spirituality. To me, it's all one and the same thing, that we're all connected. But so I understand what you're saying about that. And there really is something also to be said besides clearing yourself and setting that intention and that, you know, environment for yourself in a higher place, with calming, sitting, being in a safe place and feeling, you know, really open to something. You were talking earlier about how a lot of people are always, you know, there's so much information coming in. We're always checking our social media. We're always listening to something, viewing something or whatever. But the process is just to be able to shut it out, almost like a meditative state. But you say, again, it's not necessarily get into a meditative state, but you can just quiet your mind, be still, and ask, right? And stay open for anything, right?
You'd be surprised when information would just come to you. You'd really be surprised. My dad had retired in Bradenton in Florida, and I would drive down to see him, drive by myself, 13 hours straight through.
Wow.
Driving from Ohio, I-75 southbound. Georgia's a 5.5-hour state. Speed limit is 70. They'll give you 10. They may not give you 11, but they'll give you 10. So I had cruise set on 80.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I would have the radio on, but many times I would just turn it off and drive in silence, not really thinking about anything.
Right, right.
And I'm cruising somewhere in Georgia, southern Georgia, 80 miles an hour. And a thought came into my mind, and it said, I'd slow down up ahead if I were you. I glanced in my rearview mirror. I didn't see anything, but I reached up, shut the cruise off, and let the car coast down to about 72. Topped a little rise in the freeway. There sat a Georgia State Highway Patrol.
Aha.
Now, whether or not he would have pulled out after me doing 80, like I said, they'll give you 10. And yeah. If you see them and tap the brakes, they know you're paying attention.
Right.
You don't have to slam on the brakes and get down. You know, they just know that you're paying attention. You acknowledge them. But just the fact that that thought was given to me, and once I got past him, I ran it back up to 80, set the cruise, and I said out loud in the car, thank you, Spirit.
Right.
And that was Wilma Jean's favorite expression when she would be led or given information or told something was going to happen, and it did. She would always say, thank you, Spirit.
Wow, that's beautiful. No, and I think that's acknowledgement is so important.
It is. Their joy is in our recognition of their existence.
Mm-hmm.
And just by our recognition, that opens the door and allows them to know that we're receptive.
Right.
So we're given that pesky little thing called free will.
Yeah.
So we can accept or reject any advice, guidance, direction that we're given. Normally, we're not the better for it. But we have that ability. And, you know, you can go on your own emotions. You know, girls going out with a guy, you know, 18 going out with a 23-year-old guy. Everybody tells her that, you know, that he's not right for her. You know, you shouldn't be with him. Well, I'll do what I want. You know, 2-3 years later, she's got 2 kids and he's gone.
Ooh.
I knew I shouldn't have been involved with him. I knew it. I was told in my mind I shouldn't. Everybody told me.
Yeah.
But I did it anyway.
Right.
And that's the way it works.
Well, that's interesting. And that's the way, you know, that's where we as psychologists come in. We try to explore why someone, you know, needs to do certain things or be with certain types of people and the reasons behind that and whatever lessons they need to learn in their life, I guess, that don't turn out great all the time. But
we all walk a chosen path, a path of our own choosing.
Yeah.
Now, we're born to a certain set of parents in a certain social station. And I have talked to people, look at the children that are born to Bill Gates and Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll want for nothing. I mean, granted, they'll have their challenges.
Sure.
But wealth and those kind of connections make life a lot easier.
Absolutely.
Then you've got children born to alcoholic fathers, drug addicted mothers.
Yeah.
You can be born, you know, to abusive parents.
Sure. Sure.
You could be born in communist China, North Korea, Venezuela.
Right.
Look at all the different, you know, is it random? Is it just luck of the draw? Did Bill Gates and Steven Spielberg kids just win the lottery? Or are we born deliberately? Are we assigned to a life to a particular set of parents in a certain social station for what it is we're supposed to learn and do and overcome in this lifetime?
Right.
And in that conversation, you open the door to reincarnation.
You sure do. And interesting stuff in some of those messages from your mom. That's really what's being said. It's almost like we choose as well. Aren't there supposed to be agreements made sometimes when we're on the other side as to the lessons we need to learn the next time around in order to come back here and just fulfill the understanding and becoming a higher soul or whatever, right?
Well, there is no death. It's just graduation. We ride around in these bodies the way we ride around in our cars. This is just a vehicle for us to be able to negotiate this physical plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I believe that when you do graduate, I'm sure that you go through an evaluation period.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you may see what you thought you know, what you expected to see.
Yeah.
Until that just kind of fades away. And then you're allowed to see and counseled and What do you think about this? How do you think you handled this situation?
Right.
Did you really need to hurt this person with your words?
Right. Exactly.
One of the interesting things about these messages is that prophecy, quite a bit of prophecy was given in these messages and teachings.
Yes.
And Wilma Jean had started receiving these messages in August of 1977.
Wow. Wow.
And they continued through the year 2000.
Yeah.
And then she had some health problems and she just needed, it was time to quit.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the hour, it would take 3 to 4 hours for her to receive a message for her and a message for me in a dedicated session.
Sure.
But in March of 1978, she received a message.
Cool.
And one of the messages said, one of the lines in the message said, many will be the revelations concerning your book.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was only 9 months after she had started receiving these messages and teachings. Mm-hmm. She had no idea how long they would last. She didn't know how long they would continue. And she, at that time, she had no intentions or even knowing if she was going to have enough material to have a book.
Mm-hmm.
But they knew.
Yeah.
They knew 22 years before she stopped receiving that.
Right.
And they said, many will be the revelations concerning your book.
Right.
That's how amazing. Far ahead they could see.
That's amazing. And by the way, in case you guys just tuned in, we're talking to Michael McAdams. He's the author of this book, An Angel Told Me So. It's also written by his mom, who, you didn't say channel, but who received information from higher spirit guides or whatever you want to call. Wilma Jean Jones had a gift, as we all do, but she was really open to receiving these messages. And her son, Michael McAdams, as well, who's with us today, who is a co-author of this book. He put it all together. And there were so many messages, Michael, over those 22 years. And like I mentioned earlier, you're doing 3 volumes. I'm sure it was really hard putting on all this information, just the first volume together, to try to get the most critical messages out so people could understand how to improve their lives.
Actually, they're not the most critical. These are given in sequence of the day she received them.
Oh, that's
all
amazing.
All 3 volumes is a continuation from the day she started till the last message that she received.
Wow.
So, and they were dictated in sessions. There were gaps.
Yeah.
She had gone to the Holy Land. She'd always wanted to make a trip over there. And she had connected with a church group and went 3 years in a row.
Wow.
In volume 2, there was a gap of about 3 or 4 years where her and her husband were doing a large addition to the home they lived in. And they had worked on it together. But in volume 1, you see just from August of that year till New Year's.
Yeah.
That was all the messages she received in volume 1.
Right, right.
So it's a continuation. And I'm really just the messenger. Mm. The messages and teachings, I type word for word in the book, and then I try and weave a narrative as to what was going on and tell a story.
Yes, yes.
To allow people to move from one message to the next.
Yes, yes. And that's wonderful. And so this is part of your purpose, I guess, right now in your life and on this planet right now, this is part of your purpose, is to enable people to understand what these messages from the higher power or the spirit guides or whatever, really told your mom.
Right. So, spiritual teachers.
Spiritual teachers were there for you guys.
Spiritual teachers from the other side is where these came from. And I've had a number of people say, well, your grandmother received, your mother received.
Yes.
Do you receive?
Yes.
And I have received messages.
Mm-hmm.
When I was looking for a publisher, I was on a publisher's website. I started with the big boys in New York. They blew me off because I'm a nobody. So I had gone to a publisher's website and they asked a number of questions about your work. One of the questions was, what makes your material unique? Why would anyone want to read this?
Right.
And I thought, wow, that is really a good question.
Yeah.
And I was sitting where I'm sitting right now at my computer. And I didn't really even ask. All I did was relax my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And an answer to that question was dictated to my mind.
Wow.
May I share this with your audience?
Of course.
So this is the answer I was given to the question, what makes your material unique?
Yes.
The uniqueness of any material is in the manner in which it touches the soul. An open and searching mind pulls the soul and the body in which it inhabits onward and upward with hunger and determination in its quest for spiritual nourishment, ever mindful that the path upon which we walk is the path toward God. Mm. Lives lived, experiences endured, goals accomplished, and loved ones lost are all encounters upon that path. Strive always for the highest possible communication with our Heavenly Father. Mm. Believe in yourself as the Father within you is guiding, leading, directing, and comforting you upon this journey that we call life. Mm. Blessings be upon you as you walk your chosen pathway.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is just beautiful.
When it got to the end, it just stopped.
Yes. Yes.
That was not me. I was taking dictation.
Right.
And I take no credit for that whatsoever.
Isn't that beautiful? Well, your credit is, I guess, is that you were open to receiving it. I mean, that's where we have to be in that space.
And everyone has that ability.
Right.
You're born with it.
Right.
And if they, by reading these messages and teachings and an angel told me so, I believe that it will open the door for people to know, not only know, but realize that they have access to their own spirit teachers.
Sure.
And that help and guidance is available.
Yes.
Whether they act on it, whether they choose to accept or reject is their own personal choice.
Yeah.
But it's there.
Exactly.
So why would anyone deny? There's an interesting line, and I really like this. You asked about some of the favorite messages.
Mm-hmm.
The message that's posted on Wilma Jean's television interview on the website, spiritspeaks.com. This first teacher's message, like I said, was little more than a long paragraph, really profound.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't read the whole thing, but I'll just start and read just a few lines here. There is a resurrection period through which man must travel in order to come into the realm of things godlike. You are to consume and digest all that is given here, as this comes from one highly qualified to meet the needs of this generation. You are not the sole property of yourselves. God still holds the everlasting command over your being, and in him must one take refuge. You are to be considered as one who has been stripped of all belongings and left to die by the wayside. In this manner are you then open to any help that would be forthcoming. You are by your very nature ones who would depend on your own intellect to carry you through. However, by giving of your soul into the hands of God, you prosper and develop more freely into that which denies the outcome of some situations, knowing full well that it is the hand of God leading and directing you so that you may arise victorious in the end.
Ooh.
And then it went on a little bit from there.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
But you know, imagine yourself abandoned.
Yeah.
Stripped of all belongings, would you be willing to accept help from any source, even if it's just thoughts in your mind, as long as it is a high source?
Mm-hmm.
And again, that affirmation, any affirmation that you choose to say that will offer a filter of protection is what people, you know, once you learn how to do that. And incoming thoughts have a different feel in your mind. It's a subtle difference.
Yes, yes.
And we're all spoken to. But that, you know, once you recognize that, you can differentiate between a thought that you think and a thought that's incoming.
Oh, that's interesting. Because we're always thinking, you know, in our beta consciousness brain, the frontal lobe, we're always going 100 miles an hour. So we need to sort of slow that down and be able to receive these messages and open ourselves up. So that's the best way to do it, you suggest.
Well, we each have our own personal thought system. You can picture it like a little mini solar system flowing around in your mind. And it is your personal thought system. And you can accept or reject any thoughts that come into your mind. If it's a thought you didn't think and it's a thought you don't like, discard it. Send it somewhere else. And you establish your filter. And people say, well, I can't help but think about this.
Right.
Yes, you can. You can help it. But it takes, you just have to make the effort.
Right.
Some people, their their thought system is chaos.
That's right.
Just absolute chaos.
Yes.
And they don't realize the control
right
that they have. They don't realize the ability to be able to deal with things. They just think everything is happening to them, and we really are a product of our choices.
Right, right. Exactly. We sure are. As you said, we have free will, I guess, and when we're ready to receive the information, so be it. But we may not quite be ready, but there are ways and information in your book, An Angel Told Me So, that you and your mom wrote together, that, you know, can really help people get into this process a little better. How have some of these messages helped you in your life and become, just say, a better, higher spiritual being?
Well, as you deal with things, the first thing you lose is any scope of fear. I mean, you just don't have any fear.
Yeah.
And it does give you a sense of confidence, not cocky, not arrogant.
Right.
But just confidence that you're on a path, and as long as you walk that path, people say, you know, how do you see yourself? They'll say, who do you think you are? You know, not who do you think you are, but
yeah. Right.
Who do you, and the better question is, how do you see yourself?
Right.
And right. I see myself standing at an intersection with five choices and saying, try this one.
Right.
You know, you might want to go this way.
Right.
Or lighting a path in darkness, where people are, they don't know which way to go. Mm-hmm. They're lost. Mm-hmm. Say, well, here's a path. Mm-hmm. Try this path. You can always come back to the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can always circle back. Who is it that's saying that in the government? You don't remember. That's all right. Yeah, I'll circle back on that. So there.
Yeah.
That's how I see myself. I'm a messenger. And I am sharing these messages and teachings. I'm like Ricky Ricardo. I've always been a good splainer. You know, splain it to me, Lucy.
Exactly.
So you are like that. And I, again, I have received just some really high, you know, personal messages to me. I had owned a satellite dish company. That's what I did for a living. I had a satellite dish company for 22 years.
Wow.
And I had come home, did sports bars and that sort of thing. I had come home from work one evening, went upstairs to change clothes, and the words greatness in spirit came into my mind. I knew it was incoming. So I opened the drawer, pulled out a tablet and a pen, and I started taking the words down, and I was scribbling to keep up. It was coming so fast. And I even had trouble reading my own words the next day when I typed it up. This was given as a personal message to me, but I feel that it applies to all of us who are in this work. May I share this with your audience?
Sure.
Greatness in spirit shall touch the lives of many whom you will come into contact with. Hearts and lives will be touched and changed by your presence. Enable yourself by the will of your being to respect and respond to the changes in individuals as you become aware of the true potential of your spirit. In the eyes of God, thou hast made thyself worthy of all the riches and gifts of spirit that shall be forthcoming unto you. Be as you will in relationship to the Holy Spirit that inhabits and dwells within thy being at this time. Look always to the future with anticipation and gladness, for thou hast made thyself a living receptacle for the Spirit of God, and all good things shall come to thee.
Beautiful. I love that.
Now, that's a pretty good personal message to receive.
It sure is a pretty good. That's
but a again,
message.
I feel that it applies to all of us.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. I agree. Yeah.
And all of this is given as just to let people know what is capable of being received.
Yes.
And everybody's going to receive on a different level.
Absolutely.
They may be beginners. Just saying, well, I'm afraid negative thoughts or evil thoughts are going to come into my mind.
Sure.
Well, then establish your filter of protection.
Right, exactly.
You have that ability. You control your thought system.
Sure, exactly.
So that's the whole point of An Angel Told Me So, is that as people read these messages and teachings, not only are they applicable to what they're going through, but they will realize they have that ability too.
Oh, it's true. And all of the messages are so similar in terms of not only allowing yourself to have the ability, but how we can be higher, more spiritual, loving beings. And what we're here for is giving love and non-judgment and opening up our heart and becoming one with the higher power, the source, God, or whatever that is. And you know, again, we are all connected. So whatever gifts we can give. And you gave us this gift, you and your mom, through, you know, her writings and what she was receiving from her spirit guides. And again, it's just about that time to go, guys, but you might want to check it out. An Angel Told Me So. And it's written again by my special guest, Michael McAdams, and her mom, Wilma Jean Jones, an amazing collection of messages and teachings dictated directly from spirit teachers and angels from the other side. And again, this is volume one. There are a couple of more volumes coming out, right, Michael?
That's true.
Great.
And
the website
is spiritspeaks.com.
Great.
The book is available on Balboa Press, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Kindle, and Nook.
Great. Thank you so much for being on the couch today with me. I really appreciate it. It's been great having you.
Thank you, Michelle. I really enjoyed it myself.
Keep up your good work, Michael, and thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Okay, guys, you heard it. Michael McAdams, author of this book, An Angel Told Me So. Really interesting messages that her mom dictated and from higher power, spirit guide, or whatever. And I guess we can all tune into our higher power. We've taught a lot of different techniques on this show about how to go into meditation, relaxing your mind, getting out of all those high beta constant thoughts, and just receiving and being one with whatever the source to you may mean and whatever religious faith you're, you know, with. So these are really good teachings and some wonderful information that this lovely woman received and is sharing with us now. And we all have the power to do that. So thanks again for listening. And as I always say, take care of yourself first and you'll be great for other people. And that's the way it works in the world. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Right here on LA Talk Radio.